Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Listening to some authentic music here. This case, Belisario Lopez from Cuba, way back when. Just listen to it for a minute, I'll show you where I'm going. If you want to understand me and where I'm coming from, you got to understand part of me, which is musical. And I grew up listening to this music, not in my house. My father thought it was horrible music. In fact, when I first played jazz music in the house, he threw the stereo in the... He ripped it out of the wall and wanted to throw it in the gutter. He said, "What are you listening to that junky music?" I'll never forget, as long as I lived, when I started listening to all sorts of jazz music, man, that was such an affront to his sense of whatever. Who knows what he thought, but he didn't go for it. I remember listening to some of the great jazz music in the late 50s. I was addicted to it. And when I would play it, God forbid what went on in that house. Then my mother, God rest her soul, brought home a hi-fi. It was a blonde hi-fi. Said he got so angry that she even bought it without going through him. And I bought the records. You know, they were red and all sorts of colors. And I used to listen to it. But I grew up listening to this music. And there's a reason I'm telling you about it. And the reason I'm telling you about it is because the music had something to it that both excited me, got me out of my provincial world, brought me into another realm, exposed me to good and bad. And I mean good and bad. Because the musical world was filled with some great musicians and also filled with some authentically bad people. Drug dealers, drug addicts. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to you is this is a part of my life. Now, I want to play one other piece of music. The next one is who? That was Belisario Lopez. Who's the next one? Don't worry. We'll do politics when I get around to it. Believe me, you'll get politics. Why am I playing this music? To show you I'm not Fox News. That's number one. Number two, to show you that the show is created entirely by me. And number three, to tell you a couple of things today. I'll start with some questions for the meat and potatoes crowd. And I know what I'm going to get right away. The first question is, who do you trust more, Putin or Obama? Now, I know what I'm going to get. 99% will say they'd rather Putin be president than Obama. I know that. So please don't call it that. See, I put it up on Facebook last night. Who do you trust more, Putin or Obama? Something along those lines. Overwhelmingly, my Facebook followers trust Putin more than Obama for good reason. And I don't have to say why. Obama's the least trustworthy man in the history of the world. Then I was going to ask you, how do you feel about white student unions? That's because there's every kind of ethnic student union in the world now on the increasingly segregated campuses created by the diversity folk, mainly by the white communist professors who want polarization and hatred. They're not there to teach. They're there to divide and conquer. It's the white commie professors who have destroyed the universities. So they let the Black Lives Matter crowd take over to the exclusion of everybody else. So now some people are reacting and creating what they call someone who represents their interests, the white student union. I'm going to talk about that. But I want to get to a bigger topic, and that's Hillary Clinton and the email scandal without getting bored, because it's a boring topic. We all know it's a setup to fail. I told you this for years. It was going to blow up in your face if you follow Trey Gowdy. Do you remember the hearings, the Benghazi hearings? Remember how you prayed to God finally some truth would be told? You remember you thought Trey Gowdy was the real McCoy? And you remember how he fizzled out like a wet firecracker? And at the end of it, Hillary came out reigning the new queen of the American political landscape. It was all because the Republicans set it up to go that way, in my opinion. So now we have one last chance to get to the bottom of who this woman really is, as if we don't really know. And that is in the hands of the FBI director. An article came out today in The Hill entitled, I don't know their title, but it was about, I don't know how they call it, I forget their title, I don't have it in front of me, but it was about how her future, and the presidential election is really in his hands, the FBI director James Comey. They said FBI Director James Comey is the pivotal figure in the 2016 presidential race that no one is talking about. Comey is a Republican appointed by Obama. Did you hear that? A Republican appointed by Obama who enjoys a stellar reputation on both sides of the aisle, who was investigating Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server as Secretary of State. Now, they say the controversy surrounding her private email account remains an Achilles heel. Okay. We also know the GOP-created House Benghazi Committee flopped. when Clinton came out smelling like roses. And that was not because the hearing failed to produce anything newsworthy about her use of a private server. It's because there was no hearing at all. It was a coronation. So now the FBI has the final say on whether Clinton did anything wrong or illegal. And whatever the verdict is, they write, both parties will have to accept it because James Comey is in many ways untouchable. That's interesting because of the show The Untouchables about Elliot Ness. The 54-year-old FBI chief, confirmed by the Senate to a 10-year term on a 93-1 vote, this summer, by the way, is known for his independence and aggressive prosecutions. Now, before I go into the details of why I trust Mr. Comey, I will tell you that it was not but yesterday that I said on this show, before this article came out, that there's only one man in the Obama administration I trust. Did I say that or not, Jim? I said it on this show yesterday that there's only one member of the Obama administration that I have any faith in, and that's James Comey. And you know why I said it? Because he's the only one to dare stand up to that fraud in the White House and say, what do you mean taking all the Syrian refugees because they're all going to be vetted? Comey stood out from the pack and said, we can't vet all of them. It's impossible. Did you know that? The CIA is a wholly owned subsidiary of one of the Girl Scouts in the White House. Can you believe that the CIA would prostitute itself like this under this administration by saying climate change is a greater threat to our survival than ISIS is? Can you believe that things have come to this level? Well, they have, and yet there's only one man who I think stands up as independent, that's James Comey. So I did some research, and I didn't know who appointed him. I just know that I trusted him because of the things he was saying. Now he's a registered Republican. He's 6'8" in height. He has 5 children. In fact, his height is interesting to me, since yesterday I talked about a 6'8" boxer who beat Vladimir Klitschko the other night. I thought that was interesting. Two guys 6'8" one day in a row. Yesterday I talked about the boxer who beat Klitschko was 6'8". Now I'm talking about the FBI director who is 6'8", who I trust, right? So why else do I trust him? He's the grandson of a police officer in Yonkers, New York. That's great to me. Anyone whose father or grandfather was a cop in New York has to be good. That's true, 100% true, despite what the police haters out there, despite those who hate the police would have to say, I still trust cops. And so we go on and on. And there's something more. When Comey testified back when, he said in May of 2014 that Army psychiatrist, the Muslim, Nidal Hassan, who killed 13 people at the Fort Hood Army base in 09, he said that rat was inspired by Al-Qaeda, while others in the Obama administration wouldn't say any such thing. They said it was workplace violence. Did you know that? This propagandist administration of ours wouldn't even say that Nidal Hassan was inspired by Al-Qaeda. This statement alone tells me everything I need to know about the current investigations. The investigations will be done, and they will be done right. Comey is not afraid to stake out his position, regardless of which way the political winds blow or who is being investigated. This should provide comfort to the taxpayers and voters and fuel sleepless nights for the targets of the investigation, said Morgan Wright, a cybersecurity expert who knows the situation very well. And so we'll talk about that in a minute without going into many more details. And then I'll get back to the Cuban music that I'm playing. And then we'll go on to some other topics such as, who do you trust more, Putin or Obama? How do you feel about white student unions? And now I want to depart on a slight note here. You know my show has been on the air for 21 years, not in this time slot, not on these exact stations, but I've been a broadcaster since 1994. And I have a very large audience, a very, very large audience that's very loyal, incidentally, that goes back a very long time. Right now, my show is heard on major stations across America, including WABC in New York, where my ratings are superb, WMAL in Washington, D.C., and this is where I want to pause for a minute. You can check it out if you're in the industry. My ratings on WMAL indicate that I have a 3.2 share of all people listening to radio at the time that I'm on the radio, 3 to 5 in the afternoon, which makes this show one of or the most listened to daypart talk show in the Washington, D.C. area. Which means that anyone who has a brain, who is looking for news and wants to hear kind of a raw, independent view, turns to Michael Savage. Of course they get their news from the Washington Post and the New York Times, and they turn on CNN and they listen to Jake Tapwater, but they take all of it with a grain of salt. When they listen to me, what do you think they're hearing? Why do they take a few minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes out of their day to listen to me in that city or your city? Why? What are they hearing? They're hearing a guy who's sort of salt of the earth, old school, like their father or their grandfather, somebody from their life who they trusted, who they could count on to give them the unvarnished truth, meaning how they see the world. That's why they're listening. Now let's go back to the music I was playing. Jim, what's the next piece that we have of this Cuban music, this authentic Cuban? Did you know that? Do you remember? Turn it off now. Now it's distracting me. Okay, so we're going to talk about soul for a minute. When I listen to this music, I hear a singer who has soul, Duende, right? Now, what do I mean by that? It means that there's something about it that touches you on a different level. Something that touches your soul when you listen to their voice. And it's what's missing in the world today. What's missing in the world today is soul. All we have is hate and lust. I want you to think about what I just said. All drama produced by Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein, none of it has any soul in it. It's got hate and it's got lust. That's all it's got. The actors and actresses, no soul. All they can portray, hate and lust. That's all they can portray. But I listen to music like this and I hear the part of the human being that's missing in America today. And I say to myself, lo máximo que buena melodía, meaning, wow, that's beautiful. That's the melodía. Que buena pachanga, gracias por poneros a escuchar. Beautiful music, great to listen to, right? So that's why I'm playing it for you. Where has the soul gone in America? What happened to the soul? Forget about the politicians. They're not the sun, moon, and stars of my life. They never have been, they never will be. But whatever happened to soul in music? There is no soul in music anymore. What is the music? What is the music of America? And you say, well, why are you going off on a tangent about music right now? Why not go off on a tangent about music right now? We have no soul in America. It was killed when the computerized age took over this country. You look at the average person of any age, and they're staring into an object in their hand. They're feeling nothing. They're seeing nothing. They hear no evil. They see no evil. And they speak no evil. I'll be back to talk more about soul on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. What am I talking about today? I don't know. You have to be an artist to understand anything that I've said so far. I'm afraid if you're a straight-line, two-dimensional radio listener, you probably turned the dial already and don't know what I'm talking about, but it's all related in my own way. What I'm talking about is the death of truth, the death of honesty, the death of soul, perhaps not only in America, but the entire world. And I want to go back again to what I said when I started. When I grew up, there was a great emphasis on, well, we'd go to like a jazz club or a Latin club, and in my crowd, people would say, listen to that music, it's got soul. And then we were told that soul music came from the African-American community. It largely did. Not entirely, but it did. And we came to depend upon that music as a link to our own feelings in many ways. So follow where I'm going. Now, speed the clock up. You get shysters who come along, complete and total Machiavellian monsters, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, who capitalize on the sensitive liberal whites' view of black people and sell themselves as the authentic, honest person, and they turn out to be complete and total louts, in it only for themselves, in it only for what they can take down, total and absolutely unreliable. Leave it at that. Now let's move it forward to Obama. Obama gets a lot of white voters who say, you know what, man, look at Bush, he lied. There were no WMDs, those white people, you can't trust them. Halliburton, Cheney. Yeah, all right, so let's vote for a black man, because he's trustworthy. That's how Obama sold himself. Well, I rest my case. Another one who used race to get ahead. And here we are, searching for someone authentic to save us from this lie, the big lie. When I come back, we'll talk more about that and take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I lived in a very regimented two-dimensional universe. I mean, it was a good universe, but it was very regimented and very limited. Now, imagine walking into a nightclub on Broadway in the winter and hearing this music live and what it did to you. If you could just imagine hearing it the first time you actually hear music like this live. Or jazz music down at the Village Vanguard or the Village Gate. Same era that I listened to Lenny Bruce live as a kid, 17 years old. Couldn't believe what was coming out of his mind and mouth, that anyone could even formulate ideas like that and speak so honestly. It was shocking to listen to. Now, speed it forward a number of decades. Here I am, Michael Savage, sitting in front of a microphone. I have a large audience, and I have a large audience in a lot of cities, thank God. And I'm doing some of the same things that some of these people did. I'm doing it both verbally, and I'm doing it, let's say, spiritually or soulfully, and I'm doing it musically if I have to. Some days I'm flat, some days I'm not flat, some days I'm up, some days I'm down, some days I'm high, some days I'm low. In other words, what you're getting, what you hear is what you get, meaning what you get is what you get, meaning who I am is who I am. And so now let's go to the news for a minute. You turn on the news, do I have to criticize it? We know it's fake. It's packaged garbage. It's recirculated nothing. Nobody wants to believe a word they say. So we used to have Fox News, then that suddenly, over the years, suddenly turned to the left and became nothing more than CNN with a slight twist of conservatism in order to keep your attention. Then you wake up and you see a fraud on there, like this guy on Shepard Smith, who is totally on the other side of the aisle, and yet he's on Fox News and he has an audience because he's stuck between semi-conservative broadcasters. The man has no talent. And now you say, well, where do you turn for news? Do you know what I watch for news? If I tell you, you're not going to believe it. I'm addicted to RT. I'm addicted to the RT channel. I watch it off and on all day long. Now, some of it's junk. Jesse Ventura is not watchable. You can't watch the guy. Some of them are such, the analysis is so good coming out of Europe and Russia that, let's say you know it's propaganda for Putin. Let's just start with that. If it's RT, you know it's got to be propaganda for Putin, right? So you start with that bias, and then you listen to the people as they lay out their ideas, such as they say, Turkey shot down the Russian plane over Syria. Even though the U.S. still won't admit it, they put out the initial propaganda that Turkey was defending its borders. We all know it's a lie. And yet many people who are otherwise semi-reputable bought that hook, line, and sinker. They bought Turkey's line, which means that they bought into ISIS's propaganda. So you watch that news and you see the actual trajectory of the plane. You realize that Turkey was trying to, just what I said to you last Wednesday before I went for the vacation, the 4 days that I was off. I said to you that this entire charade was orchestrated by Obama. He used Turkey as a factotum. He told them to pull the trigger. They were his button man. He is the godfather. He's the godfather of NATO. He hates Putin personally. He hates him politically. And so they said to Turkey, look for a reason to shoot down a Russian plane. They shoot down the Russian plane, hoping that Putin would react and therefore trigger NATO's involvement. Because unfortunately, Turkey is a member of North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which makes no sense whatsoever. It never should have been a member of NATO. The only reason it was made a member of NATO was to antagonize Russia. That's the only reason they were ever brought in. So you look at this and you see Putin's certainly 100 times smarter than the former mayor of Istanbul, and certainly smarter than the community organizer from Chicago, no matter how powerful he is. And then you look at pictures of Putin meeting Obama the other day, where they both spoke in Paris about climate change, which is a joke unto itself at a time like this. And you see an odd picture. I put it up on Facebook. It's still there. It's a picture of Obama towering over Putin. Obama's giving him the hate face, trying to stare him down, but he's staring at the top of Putin's head. Putin's staring at Obama's left shoulder. And what's intriguing is to look at the hands. Putin has one hand on Obama's hand. He has one hand, he's got his right hand on Obama's left hand. But more interestingly, Mr. Cool Mr. Cool Obama has his left hand touching nothing, while Putin, the martial artist, has a tight grip on Obama's elbow, pushing his elbow against Obama's body. This says everything you need to know. And what you don't know about Putin is that he's not just a black belt in judo, but he's a sixth Dan and also an eighth Dan in karate. Do you know what that is? You know how high that is? It requires absolute skill, dedication, and concentration. The man also speaks Russian, German, and English. Obama's another phony, another empty suit, like Bush, who, if you watch them when a foreign speaker is speaking on the same podium with them, have you ever seen this? They look over at them to make it as though they understand what they're saying, and they kind of nod their heads like they know it. They don't know a word they're saying. Have you ever watched this? It's like, You know they don't know a word the guy's saying. So he speaks one language. It's the language of divisiveness. And he's dealing with a man who's multilingual and such, and also a very skilled judo player. So now let's go back to the shootdown. Obama tells Turkey, pull the trigger on that, shoot them down on the border near Turkey, and say that they violated your airspace, which is ludicrous to begin with, because every country violates every other country's airspace on a fairly regular basis. Turkey has violated Russia's airspace about 7,000 times. How many times have we violated the airspace, for example, of Mexico? I'm giving you an example. Does Mexico launch F-16s to shoot down our planes? Of course they don't. There was no warning given to the Russians whatsoever. Okay, so what was the end game here? They wanted to drag NATO into this, but the judo expert didn't take the bait. Instead, he played it cool. And what he's done is he's moved troops, weapons, airplanes into the area. He put up SAM missile batteries on the border with Syria. And now a new report emerges today, which is that he's building another air base in Syria. Right in front of the eyes of the world, he is building another air base in Syria. He's not going anywhere. No matter what the thin man from Chicago wants him to do, he's not leaving Syria. The thin man from Chicago doesn't get it yet. He has bamboozled the American people and crushed the people. He's crushed the Supreme Court. He has crushed the non-existent Republican Party. But he can't crush Putin. It's the one nut left on the world stage that he wants to break. Do you get it? Now, what does it have to do with music? Everything and nothing. And so we'll go back to some of the calls. For those of you who are following it all, go ahead, follow it all. For those of you who think that I'm just speaking in tongues, I'm sorry to express to you the fact that I'm actually creating a cohesive discussion here that has music at the center of it. So let's begin with my obscure idea about soul being dead in America and soul music being dead in America. And the only thing left in the American media landscape is hate and lust. The only thing at Weinstein and Company, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg can produce other than other childish fantasy, albeit beautifully done, well-crafted, no soul whatsoever. All they can produce when they want to produce emotion is hate and lust. It's all that Sean Penn can produce, hate and pseudo-lust. It's all that the girls of Hollywood can produce, either hate or lust. None of them have any soul. And what does it have to do with politics? Well, you figure it out. And we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's take a call. Alan on WABC. Go ahead and make your point. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Alan. And listen, my point is this. The music that they got our youth listening to today, it keeps them brain dead. They want to be fat gangsters. They talk about women that they're bees, and they have the women scantily clothed. There's no respect. And they're wondering why nobody respects them, and they can't get people to respect when they don't respect themselves. How do they expect respect?
All right, you made your point. Not what I wanted to hear. Kelly on WABC, let's take a shot at Kelly. Kelly, what do you have to say about soul?
Michael, thanks for putting a name on it. I've experienced the same thing, and you almost feel like a stranger in a land that's completely changed. I'm 49, and I feel the same way. You feel you're very different. I'm someone that sticks up for myself and others, and what passes for a decent person now is really just someone who sticks their head in the sand and doesn't have a legal record themselves. But as far as anybody being a hero or doing what's the right thing, you don't see it. And, you know, people spend fortunes going out to see superhero movies where guys are in costumes. But the average person could be a hero in somebody's life if they would just take an interest in out of their way a little bit and stand up to someone, you know? And
well,
I think
we're talking, you're talking more about hero than soul, but yes, I agree with you. A hero to me is an emergency room doctor who gets a patient with gunshot wounds who's near death and has that patient survive. Or an infant who comes in with an unknown disorder and the parents' hearts are broken because they fear they're going to lose the infant. And through some miracle of their brain and the technology of today, they save the infant. That's a hero to me. And I can go down the list. There are many heroes in America, but how often have you seen them glorified by any of the media outlets? The answer is never.
You don't, and people actually talk you out of doing it. I've had many people, I'm in my own little private thing, sticking up by myself against a big agency, and people even advise you, they're well-meaning, but they basically say, just go along to get along. And you feel like, is it me? Am I wrong to think that I'm supposed to be doing something here? Who is supposed to do it if not me? You know, but I want.
Well, that's right. It comes down to one person at any time. It's always the one person who's going to hold up the entire edifice. Thank you for that call. So now let's listen to the fraud of frauds in clip number one. Here he is again, and you got to hear him again. He's got a great voice with such hollowness in it that it resonates even in his own ears, I would think, in clip one.
You know, just with respect to my successor, let me first of all say that I'm anticipating a Democrat succeeding me. I'm confident in the wisdom of the American people on that front.
Of course, that has no meaning whatsoever. Now, the next one is a real screamer. This goes along with 97% of all scientists agree that global warming is caused by evil white males. Here he comes again in clip two with another big fat lie right out of Leni Riefenstahl's best films in clip two.
And I would note that the American people, I think in the most recent survey, two-thirds of them said America should be a signatory to any agreement that emerges that is actually addressing climate change in a serious way. So the good news is the politics inside the United States is changing as well.
That's rubbish. First of all, it's a CBS New York Times poll of 12 of their cousins inside a toilet somewhere. What are you talking about, the latest poll? I can run you a poll showing you 97% of the people listening to me think you're full of you-know-what, and that global warming is an invention by you and George Soros to rape the treasuries of all the Western nations. You know you're a liar. Don't quote false surveys. That's what I'm saying. It gets me angry. I hate lies. I hate it like poison. I hate it like poison to see the richest countries on earth run by some of the worst gangsters in history. Pushing this lie in order to tax people to give them even more money. Do you know that I told you this in a previous show? Remember after the Spanish and the Portuguese had colonized Central America, what they did to the Aztecs, how they destroyed the civilization, how they came there with the muskets and the armor, and what they did to the indigenous people because of their quest for gold. And towards the end, when they had almost destroyed and eradicated both the Aztec civilization, one of the elders of the people said, these Europeans have a disease. We call it the gold disease. It's incurable. It's still true today. You take a man like Tom Steyer, a billionaire. You take a man like George Soros, a multi-billionaire. There's no money on earth, amount of money on earth that's enough for them. And so these people are deeply in bed with the entire global warmest complex. The global warming complex is one of the greatest gangster frauds ever created by a group of very skillful liars who spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year putting out lie after lie after lie. And what's their end game? Do you think it's to save the earth? Do you think it's to save one mink whale from the hands of those greedy Japanese who are chopping up whales in the name of scientific research? No, my friends, it's to make even more billions because they also suffer from the same disease as the Portuguese and the Spanish suffered. It's called gold disease. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. We're going to talk about white student unions popping up around the European world as a result of them being marginalized, and they say things such as, Well, there are clubs for everyone else. Why not white people? African clubs are okay. Middle Eastern clubs are okay. But if you create a white club, you're called a Nazi. And you know that that's how it works. This is how they silence you. But you can't be silenced anymore. I recommend you stand up before they push you to your knees and cut your head off verbally and every other way. That's my opinion. And so we'll talk about that, because the white students' unions are saying all they want is equality. They're not out to antagonize anyone. They're not out to put anyone down. But they said they just want equality. They are fed up with being marginalized on campuses. And they believe that they have a lot of pride in what their ancestors have brought to the world. And so students of European descent are creating so-called white student unions. It's an interesting topic to discuss. And as you can expect, the racists are going to call them Nazis. This is how it works. That's the game that they play. Let's go back to the first question of what happened to soul in America. Gerald, you'll be the last caller of this hour from KSFO in San Francisco. Fire away.
Yeah, 73 years old, calling from Zombieland in the Tenderloin, San Francisco, California. Doctor, the soul was always there, but it has been absolutely numbed by drugs, starting with marijuana, antidepressants, and anxiety drugs, etc., etc., etc. They've just numbed it.
Is that true in the music community as well?
I think it's a false soul. They think that they feel soul, but it's a distorted soul that has no religion to it, no values to it.
Interesting. Wow. Well, you're calling from deep in the heart of the Tenderloin, which is very interesting unto itself that you'd be listening to my program down there, Geraldo. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero from the...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Forget about it. Okay, let's move on. You can't blame the average person. Their brains have shut down. It's not that they're stupid. It's not that the average person is stupid. They know that every politician lies through their teeth. They trust nobody. There's no authority left in the country to trust. So they go in their own direction, whatever they have to do. Drugs, sex, rock and roll, alcohol, stupid movies, shopping like morons, eating like idiots, stuffing their face, their ears. And so they're deadening their soul, because it goes back to what I'm saying, what happened to soul in America. In this hour, we're going to talk about the lying Paris Global Warming Conference with an expert on the subject, William Briggs, who has been with us before. And he's going to show you how it's basically run by liars and thieves at this conference. And we'll have that in this hour. You can judge for yourself and see whether I'm telling you the truth or not. Look, I got nothing at stake in this. Here's the funny part about it. You say, oh, I'm working for Exxon. I'm not working for Exxon. I don't even own oil stock, incidentally. I am a trained... Okay, let's start again. I have a doctorate in nutrition, epidemiology, and medical anthropology. Let's be specific. From one of America's greatest universities at the time, with more Nobel Prize winners, not myself, more Nobel Prize winners at the time than any university in the country, I'm proud to say, 1978, the University of California at Berkeley. But prior to that, I earned a master's degree in ethnobotany, which was a pioneering field at the time, and my master's thesis was published in its entirety in a journal at Harvard University, which is a great honor for those of you who know academia. I also earned a master's degree in anthropology. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because my whole life I've been a truth seeker. And so when I get back into the world of politics, I use the same analytical mind or viewpoint that I use in all of my other endeavors. And so I really don't care which way the truth falls. So when I say to you, from my point of view, this whole thing about the Paris Global Warming Conference, it's a scam. It's a scam. I told you it was about a world tax. Obama said it was a world tax today. It's a method of robbing from the middle class to give not to the poor, as that gangster says, but to kick the money up to the trillionaires who are running the scam. Do I have to go any farther than San Francisco itself? Do you know how many billions of dollars were stolen under the guise of energy companies with government grants and contracts that were no-bid contracts steered to them by Congress itself? But we don't have a Preet Bharara here in San Francisco. We don't have a U.S. attorney who will look into the cozy relationship between politicians and their relatives who have made billions of dollars on these green scams. If we did, you might see some action, but we don't. It's a closed shop on the West Coast. It may as well be its own country, a nation unto itself, with no laws and no bylaws. It's a nation of greed, nothing but greed, and nothing but propaganda, day and night. And so we'll talk about all these topics, as well as the music I'm playing, because the music summarizes what I'm trying to say to you, which is, When music lost its soul, which it did, as a result of some of the reasons some of the callers made, when music lost its soul in America, everything else lost its soul around about the same time. It's not just that music no longer has soul in it. What movie have you seen that has any soul in it? Don't tell me you cry because you saw a furry dog story. I'm not talking about jerking your emotions around. I'm talking about that indefinable element in any work of art, which is called soul. Either it has it or it doesn't. And there's no way to define it. There is a Spanish word that I was told 30 years ago means soul. Duende. It refers to soul, whether it's in a painting. Why are some paintings flat and some paintings have depth to them, or what you might say, soul? Why is it that anything in the world of art, soul or no soul? In the world of politics, there's no soul. Can you name one politician who looks like he's real or she's real? Can you look at any one of them and tell me you feel as a human being they're telling you anything that's real? No. Okay, so now that comes down to here we are. You're listening to me for one reason. You know that I have a mind like a steel trap. You know that I have the best analytical mind in America. You also know that I try to get to the truth on every issue. And you also know that if I feel that it's not, you know, the way I think it should be, I'll tell it to you. It's coming from a real place. People who listen to me say, they like the fact that Teddy the dog barks in the background and that they know it's not a canned show. Well, that's true. He barks in the background. Right now, thank God, he's sleeping on his mat, half sun, just relaxing. He's like the master's voice, like the RCA Victor dog, listening to the program. And when I get too agitated and too worked up, he jumps up off that thing, and I don't like doing that to him. So I promise I won't do it to you either. I'll let you sleep while you listen to me, because it's after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. And since it's the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, I really don't want to awaken you from your slumber. Because between Thanksgiving and Christmas, most Americans go to sleep. Most Americans are like the big fat turkeys that they just ate. They want to go on autopilot, and can you blame us? Can you blame the average woman or the average man out there who has so much to do in the holiday season with family and friends? What do they want to eat their hearts out over something they cannot control? The answer is they don't. It's that simple. So they don't want to get worked up over politics right now. They'd rather have a warm and fuzzy couple of weeks, drift into the holidays, and then worry about politics when they have to worry about politics, which is exactly how the gangsters get away with robbing us day and night. They know very well when you're asleep. And it's when you're asleep that they come in the middle of the night like thieves and try to rob you of more taxation. So now let's listen to one of the grandest thieveries, one of the greatest thieves in the history of the world. In clip number 4, I think you'll recognize the voice.
I have long believed that the most elegant way to drive innovation and to reduce carbon emissions is to put a price on it.
Let's stop right there. When you hear the word elegant, that's a San Francisco phrase that comes out of the university crowd. Elegant. That used to be a phrase used in science 30 years ago. Now it's finally dribbled down to the gangsters from Chicago. They have a mouthpiece. Put a price on it. Tax it, in other words. It's so crazy if you even understood what carbon is. Now, one of the world's great experts on carbon, as you know, is Al Sharpton. We have a great... Robert, you got to find that speech from about a month ago, where one of the most illiterate, dumb things on the earth, but very, very shrewd in getting away with murder, gave a speech on carbon that I couldn't believe what I was listening to. This Al Sharpton has gone in and out of the White House, I don't know, a couple of hundred times. You know, birds of a feather flock together, as they say. And he came out about a month ago, 2 months ago, and he was an expert suddenly on climate. This reverend, no one knows where he got his reverend's degree from, probably a Cracker Jack box somewhere, but he's an expert now on carbon. And he gave a speech along the lines of this: that carbon is a pollution, that toxic pollution that affects minorities more than anyone else. That's what passes for politics and science in Obama's America. I'm just paraphrasing. It was probably below that level, the actual statement itself. Now, what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that, you know, you really ought to educate yourself on this whole subject. Okay, the subject today is, now, of course, we're not focused on terror anymore, because Obama took your mind off it. In fact, all of the cowardly world leaders took your mind off the real problem, which is the rise of Hitler again. Hitler in a headscarf. He speaks Arabic now, and he's not marching to the Horst Wessel song. He's marching to a different tune, and he's not reading Mein Kampf. He's reading a different book. But instead of focusing on the new Hitlers, we're focused now on carbon. Your greatest threat now is carbon. It's not the new Hitlers in a headscarf. That's what they've decided to do. To distract you from their rotten, stinking, cowardly failures, they want you focused now on carbon. That's what they're doing. That's all they're doing. You know and I know that's not the greatest threat to our survival, carbon. First of all, on the face of it, if you want to talk about pollution and warming, you don't talk about carbon. That has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's a wrong metric. This whole issue of carbon dioxide is the wrong metric to begin with. How many times have I told you, if you went so far even as the fifth grade, if you got as far as the fifth grade in science, which is doubtful that anyone in Congress ever even went that far in science, if you studied carbon dioxide, you know it's actually a beneficial gas. Because it was because of the large amounts of carbon dioxide that permitted plant life to grow. And as you well know, plant life is what we rely upon. It's the basis of our entire food chain. So what would you like to do, go back before the Cretaceous era? Would you like to go back before there was plant life on Earth and eliminate all carbon dioxide? What do you want to have on the Earth right now, a global cooling? It's so preposterous, it's almost impossible to discuss. But I have a whole chapter on it in Government Zero, of course. That's right, in my great book. But the most important piece of data which you can get without buying my book is just Google the Vostok ice core sample, V-O-S-T-O-K. I don't expect the average listener to do so. And you'll find out what I'm talking about. You will see that there have been global, there have been cooling and warming and warming and cooling phases throughout man, throughout Earth's history, forget man's history. Long before man was on the Earth, you had global warming and you had global cooling on and on and on. And so, what am I arguing for? Pollution? No, I've worked against pollution my whole life. I've tried to save rainforests in the real world as opposed to Obama, who has never spent a nickel of his life dedicated to saving any of the plant life or the earth as I have. I've done more than most of the environmentalists in this field, and I know what I'm talking about. So I want to give you one fact that is a very inconvenient a statistic. And here it is. 325,000 years ago, global temperatures and carbon dioxide levels were higher than they are today. Let me repeat that. 325,000 years ago, global temperatures and CO2 levels were higher than they are today. And what I wrote on page 240 is, I guess Barack Obama didn't get any of this when he was at Columbia, learning how to become a community organizer. And then, of course, I state what's obvious. We are right now near the end of another warm interglacial. And those of us who are educated, even the rudiments of science, know that we're actually heading into another glacial cooling period where global temperatures will drop and ice will again form heavily at the poles. It's already happening. The Antarctic has just had the greatest growth of ice in a very long period of time. Don't take my word for it. Research it yourself. So, again, look up the Vostok ice core samples, or if you have my book, Government Zero, see page 239. What the scientists did was they drilled down into the ice above Lake Vostok in Antarctica to a depth of 10,000 feet. That's 2 miles down into the earth. And who did it? French and Russian scientists. and they pulled up deep core samples. And what did they look at in the deep core? They looked at, among other things, the history of temperature and carbon dioxide over the past 420,000 years. And what did I tell you? They found that 325,000 years ago, global temperatures and CO2 levels were higher than they are today. Now, there's a lot more evidence about this. But I will tell you that the biggest science scandal ever is emerging right in front of your eyes. It is the biggest science scandal ever. Now, interestingly enough, I begin the chapter Zero Science with a story about a previous science scandal, which was called Lysenkoism. And that was something that was done in the Soviet era. And that's when science had been hijacked by the government in the Soviet Union. And I call that Obama's role model, Joseph Stalin. Science was hijacked by the government in the Soviet Union under Obama's role model, Joseph Stalin. For more than three decades, the Soviet scientific community entered a dark age, now known as Lysenkoism. It was a period when all scientific discovery and advancement halted and regressed, thanks to the political dominance over Soviet science by a man named Trofim Lysenko. Now, I remember studying genetics in the late 1950s at Queens College in New York. I was a young kid. And genetics was a huge subject at that time. And we were all fascinated by learning the structure of DNA. James Watson and Francis Crick put out the double helix 10 years later. It was one of the most exciting periods for science, not only in my lifetime, but perhaps in everyone's lifetime. But there was one place in the world where Watson and Crick's great accomplishment was not being celebrated. That was in the Soviet Union under Stalin, where people were forbidden to believe that genes exist. Let me finish the sentence. Just like people in Obama's America are forbidden to believe that man-made climate change doesn't exist. Marxists have to stamp out the truth or no one would tolerate their rule. That's why Stalin needed a fake scientist to push Lysenkoism in the USSR and why Obama needs fake scientists to push global warming in the USS of A. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. So again, I want to talk about Lysenkoism and who he was. He was an evil scientist, not even a scientist. He was a propagandist in the Soviet era, who would not even acknowledge that genetics existed. And people were forbidden to believe that genes existed in the 1950s, just like people in America today are not allowed to even say that man-made climate change doesn't exist. Obama tries to make you fear saying it for fear of ridicule. He wants to make believe that there's no contrary evidence. And so they used a fake scientist to push Lysenkoism in those days, just as Obama uses pimps in the science world today and prostitutes to push global warming lies. Every last one of them, every last one of them is on the federal payroll through grants and contracts. There's not an exception to what I just said to you. Lysenko rose to prominence during the 1930s. The Soviet agricultural system was dying and people were starving because of communism. Russia had once been an exporter of wheat. But after Stalin collectivized the farms, production plummeted and people starved. And so they perverted science in the Soviet Union as a direct result of the economic failures of communism. The pattern might sound familiar. First, Stalin attacked the middle-class farmers, calling them kulaks. He said they were exploiters. He accused them of robbing from the people by charging too much for the produce of the land. Does this sound familiar? Does it sound like the Fairness Doctrine? Or does it sound like white privilege, the litany you hear from Barack Obama Sharpton and the brigades of spineless sea creatures on the left about fairness? I'll tell you more. You can read about it yourself if you want in Government Zero. When I come back, an expert on global temperatures, a real one.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Everybody else is taking climate change really seriously. They think it's a really big problem. Yeah. It spans political parties. I mean, you travel around Europe and you talk to leaders of governments and the opposition, And they are arguing about a whole bunch of things. One thing they're not arguing about is whether the science of climate change is real and whether or not we have to do something about it.
Okay, so the silk tongue snake is pushing the big lie. I told you about Lysenkoism in the 1950s in the Soviet Union. This is identical to Lysenkoism. And joining us right now is a real climatologist with a PhD in statistics from Cornell, a climatological scientist, a former cryptologist for the U.S. Air Force. His name is Dr. Matt Briggs. He joins us from Manhattan. Dr. Briggs, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Dr. Briggs, the president says the science of the climate change is accepted around the world. You and I know that's not true.
Well, it's true in the sense that every scientist knows the climate on Earth always changes and always will change. That's a fact.
Okay, but where is it not true?
It's not true in that we do not know how much of an influence we have on the climate. It's indisputable that we as humans have some influence on the climate, but as I said before, aardvarks also do, and so do radishes and polar bears. Every species on the planet influences the climate. We just don't know how much. If we did know how much, the models that we have created to describe the climate would be accurate, but they're wildly inaccurate. They've predicted that the temperatures would increase and increase and increase some more. But over the last 20 years or so, the temperature has remained relatively flat. Therefore, we know there is no problem with global warming. And we know
What about sea levels? Have sea levels risen around the world?
In various spots, maybe a millimeter or so. In other spots, they've gone down. Over the entire globe, sea ice is up. Right now, sea ice is up. All the pronouncements that we were going to have ice-free arctics and so forth were completely and wildly in error. It's just not true.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you and I both know that 97% of the world scientists who agree with President Obama are basically receiving government grants and contracts. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. Most of the scientists who make their living off of this have to agree with the government. The government puts these grants out, and they basically ask for certain results in advance, and people go after these. It's an immense amount of money. One person tracked this. I wrote an article about this at thestream.org. One person tracked this over the last 10 years. Various governments have spent $79 billion to study these things, to promote these things.
So if someone put out a grant or a contract to disprove man's impact on temperature, they would probably never get funded, correct?
If someone wrote a grant like that, they probably never would get funded. That's absolutely true. But we don't even need to. You and I, sitting right here, can deduce that the models are in error. Therefore, the theory that mankind is dangerously harming the climate is also in error. All the predictions that they have made over the last 20 years or so have fallen short. There's not an increasing number of storms. There's not a vast sea level rise that's going to sink these small islands. The sea ice has not melted. The polar bears are doing just fine. Everything they said has been wrong. Yet they're still doing this climate conference, or global warming conference, I should say.
Well, I keep quoting the Vostok ice core samples as evidence to the contrary of what Obama's putting out and the others. And then I wanted to talk about the false data. I call this the biggest science scandal ever. And we all know that there's a degree of even the most skeptical person out there would have to agree that there is no warming trend at all. In fact, they've altered the data so they've actually had the audacity to turn cooling trends into warming trends. This has been studied, hasn't it, Dr. Briggs?
It absolutely has. The problem is there's more than one way to measure temperature on Earth. The most reliable methods that we have are these space-based, satellite-based platforms. And they show, like I say, no real change over the past 20 years. Unfortunately, we don't have satellites that go back further than like late 1970s. So we have to use land-based measurements. Now, the funny thing about these land-based measurements are every time they come out with a new forecast that the temperature is going to be higher, they look at the actual land-based temperatures and they see that they don't match up to the forecast. And then they go and they say, you know what, since these land-based measurements are just a statistical algorithm, they manipulate them and adjust them, and lo and behold, they're warmer. Every time, they're warmer when they go and manipulate these things.
You know, Dr. Bridges, it's frustrating to anyone with a degree in any analytical field. You have your PhD from Cornell. I have my PhD from UC Berkeley in a different field entirely. But I could read data. Those of us who can actually read data understand that you can manipulate data if you want to. And just as we have junk journalism, people should understand that there's also junk science. And they should also understand that just as Lysenko in the Soviet Union had an army of state journalists to smear and discredit anyone who opposed his crank theories, man-made climate change proponents and the O administration received the same kind of support from the mainstream media. Do you agree or disagree with that allegation of mine?
It's 100% true. Take the recent case of Senator Whitehouse, this Rhode Island senator.
Oh, God.
A big believer in this stuff. He was working with this guy down at George Mason University, Shukla, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, who takes $500,000 a year of government money to pay for a part-time salary for he and his wife. And he wrote this letter asking President Obama and the Justice Department to prosecute skeptical scientists like myself under the RICO Act.
Yeah, I saw that. And it turned out he and his wife were scamming the government for millions of dollars a year, correct?
Well, about $500,000 a year.
Isn't he from India? Wasn't the wife or the daughter at an institute in India that was receiving some of this money?
I think so.
So, in other words, not only did he want to get away with the money that he was raking in, but he wanted to shut down anyone who disagreed with this theory and have them prosecuted under RICO statutes. That's how far we've fallen as a nation. Junk science, junk journalism, and God forbid this ever happened in this country. The fact of the matter is it didn't happen quite yet. And so that's why we still have a free press, regardless of which party is in power. The media is supposed to be skeptical of the government at all times. And that's what we're doing here on this program every day through me and my guests when it applies. I believe that the junk science is overwhelming the average mind and they don't even know what to believe. So let's cut to the chase, Dr. Briggs. What is it that Obama and the others want once they get their way? Isn't it sort of a global tax to pay for their schemes?
They call it a global carbon tax. That's exactly what they want, which is a tax on economic output. They want global redistribution. Angela Merkel said at the opening of this climate conference, they hope to do what they couldn't do back in Copenhagen, which is to redistribute $100 billion a year from countries like ours to leaders of other countries who are supposedly suffering under non-existent global warming. That's the real...
Angela Merkel is the one who's flooding her country with illegal aliens from Syria, number one, against the will of the people in every poll. Angela Merkel comes from a communist background in East Germany, doesn't she?
Well, I
know all about this. Angela Merkel is a reemergence of the ex-Soviet period in Germany's history, but let's put her aside. This is a very dangerous period when these demagogues, like Merkel, like Obama, like the others, would use fake science to lie to the people, to tax people, based on carbon. So tell the average person about carbon for a minute, Dr. Briggs. You're a scientist. You know that this is a complete ruse. It's completely fraudulent. Why are they focusing on carbon dioxide when it's the wrong gas to focus on to begin with?
Because it's easy to blame, because it's easy to trace back to economic output. All life on Earth is carbon-based. Carbon is not pollution. Carbon dioxide is not pollution. Carbon dioxide is plant food. You know, it's absurd the way they're talking about these things. It has nothing to do with science. It's unscientific to the nth degree, yet nobody challenges them on it because what it is they don't understand any of this science. All of these leaders, they don't really understand it. They don't really care. All they care is they could find enough scientists to back them up. What they really care about and what they really believe in is the solution to global warming. That's what they really want. They want the solution. They don't care about the science itself.
Dr. Briggs, what's your website for people who want to read your work?
Stream.org.
Stream.org. Dr. Matt Briggs, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thank Thanks for having
me. Thank you, Dr. Briggs. Always a pleasure. Now, I want to conclude by reading what happened in the Soviet Union when it finally came to an end, the Lysenkoism, from the last pages of Government Zero's chapter on this. Lysenkoism eventually came to an end in the Soviet Union, as it inevitably had to. Scientific reality can be denied for only so long. Eventually, the people themselves just stopped believing the lies, regardless of the state media, and forced the Khrushchev regime to turn its back on Lysenko. Lysenko was eventually stripped of all of his power, and real scientists who had always rejected his crackpot theories stopped being persecuted. All of this happened when the people themselves refused to go along with the government nonsense that led to one crisis after another. We have the same challenge in America today that those peasant farmers faced in Russia. We have a government that is perverting science and medicine to advance its political agenda. Pseudoscience, as absurd as Lysenko's, is officially recognized by the state, while real scientists in America are silenced or ostracized. Just as in the Soviet Union 50 years ago, we have so-called journalists on the far left who continue to support these obtuse theories that have no validity whatsoever, and they smear anyone who dissents. Like the Russians, we have to free ourselves from this. We have to continue to fight for the integrity of science, medicine, and the truth. Unchecked, the government will destroy the truth itself. It won't happen this year or next year, but we will rid ourselves of these Stalinist liars in America. It will happen in our lifetimes. The truth shall set us free. It must. It's the only thing that can save us from Obama's Soviet era. That's the last word on zero science in Government Zero, and you should read it for yourself and study all the references that I referred to in that chapter back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2647.
The science around climate change is more accepted. As people start realizing that even today, you can put a price on the damage that climate change is doing.
How do you listen to this?
You go down to Miami, and when it's flooding at high tide on a sunny day, and fish are swimming through the middle of the streets.
All right, let's stop right there. You know, this is becoming not comedic, but ludicrous. It's beyond comedic that a man of this power should get away with such lies without a challenge from the losers in the media is unbelievable to me. Actually, I shouldn't say it's not. It's perfectly understandable. He gets away with everything. It's a dance of death in the West, an actual death in the Middle East. I've told you about it. If he can get away with faking a war against ISIS for two straight years, if he can get away with lying about how he's using the Air Force and the military without a peep coming from any of those tin horn generals in the military, why shouldn't he be able to get away with lies about climate when you have tin horn scientists out there who are dancing to his tune because he pays them to do so? Why? So, what good is screaming about it? I know many of you say, okay, let's say I agree with you, Michael, and I don't believe him. What do you want me to do about it? I don't know what you should do about it. I'm not asking you to go march on Washington with a pitchfork. Maybe my show is about news and the truth, the way I see it. Analysis, period. It's that simple. You do with it what you want. I'm not an activist. I'm not an activist at all. I'm a member of the media. I'm a commentator. I'm not a journalist. I wouldn't be caught dead calling myself a journalist. Because to me, the word journalist in America is a dirty word. It's the world's oldest profession. Journalism as practiced today in this country is the world's oldest profession. It's older than the world's oldest profession. At least you know what you're getting for your money with the world's oldest practitioners in the world's oldest profession. But this profession of journalism is not journalism anymore. They're propagandists. That's all they are, the propaganda ministry. And if it wasn't true what I just said, I wouldn't be on the radio. I wouldn't survive a day. If you actually believe the word that the government media complex told you, why would you listen to talk radio? What? Because, because you're so entertaining. That's not the reason. I've heard all of it. Oh, we want to hear how the opposition thinks. That's not the reason. It's because what I say resonates with you is the truth. And it gives you the opportunity to say, well, all right, let me hear the other point of view. At least the guy backs it up with ideas and facts, rather. The man has a doctorate from a great university. He's written 30 books. He has a best-selling book right now called Government Zero on the New York Times list. I mean, you can't deny the fact that he's a serious person. He has a serious impact on thought, both in America and the world. I can't sit here and make believe he doesn't exist just because I want to make believe he doesn't exist. The guy sounds like what he knows, that he believes in what he's saying. Well, so good. That's why you're listening. I don't want you to be taken in by this. It's a nightmare to watch this unfolding because it threatens our very survival itself. When you have a government tasked with defending the American people, and instead of defending us from the greatest scourge since Adolf Hitler, they're lying to us about a non-threat, which they made up from the beginning out of whole cloth, they do threaten our very survival. It's no longer laughable. It's no more comedic to have a clown liar like this in the White House. It's terrifying to think that the people would be so gullible as to let him talk about this at a time when ISIS just not 2 weeks ago mercilessly slaughtered young people in Paris, machine gunned them, and then, did you know, mutilated them as they lay dying in that nightclub? Did you know that they mutilated them? You didn't know that? You didn't know that they mutilated them, these practitioners of the Quran? Oh, I know I'm not supposed to say that, because every time I hear him say they're not Islamic, that they're not Muslims, I get infuriated. They may not be representative of all Muslims, but I'm sorry to tell you that they're not creating this out of whole cloth, because the Quran itself, in 132 instances, call for killing the infidel. I didn't make that up, and I do so at great risk in telling you your very survival is at stake because of Barry from Honolulu and his band of not-so-merry pranksters. And on that note, I'll take a quick break. And with God's will and your listenership, I'll be back for another hour right here on Government Zero Central.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
For some reason, too often in Washington, American leadership is defined by whether or not we're sending troops somewhere.
Oh.
And that's the sole definition of leadership.
No, not
and,
to you,
and
though.
And part of what I've been trying to describe during the course of my presidency is that where we make the most impact, and where, by the way, we strengthen our relationships and influence the most is when we are
community
helping
organizing.
To organize the world around a particular problem.
Right, and that's global warming, of course. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, what's the greatest threat to your security, global warming or ISIS? You know the answer, of course. It's ISIS. At the hearings today, the top military officer in America contradicts the lying president. The lying president says ISIS is contained. The top military officer says ISIS is not contained. It came out today. America's top-ranking military officer found himself at odds Tuesday with the nation's commander-in-chief over the commander-in-chief's claim that the Islamic State was contained. General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said we have not contained ISIL currently. He said that at a hearing today before Representative Randy Forbes of Virginia. That answer runs counter to the claim made by President O last month in an ABC News interview when asked about the status of the anti-ISIS campaign. So the military knows it's a lie. And at the Tuesday hearing, that's today's hearing, Defense Secretary Ash Carter announced that the U.S. will send special ops forces to Syria while expanding its special ops presence in Iraq to bolster the fight against ISIS. I'm a little worried about that. And the reason I'm worried about him sending special ops forces to Syria is twofold. One, because special force ops should not work in a vacuum and on their own. I can tell you that I'm not a military person, but I can tell you that I know enough as an armchair general to tell you that you should never send in a special ops force without a backing up of a major military force behind them. You're sending them out on a suicide mission. That's number one. And number two, here's what I really fear. I fear that this devil in the White House is sending in the special ops forces not to take on ISIS, but to hunt and destroy Russian special forces troops. My fear is that he's starting World War III. That's my fear. How do you like that? Has anyone said that yet? Well, no, because no one is as insightful as me or as crazy as me. Put it any way you want. There's no other reason that this community organizer who hates the military would finally send special ops forces into Syria unless there was some nefarious reason for it. And the only reason for that is to make sure that the Russian spes ops do not kill any of the friendly terrorists that we have created, the Frankensteins, which we affectionately call friendly terrorists on the Savage Nation. The moderate terrorists that Obama has created are the ones that the special ops may be sending, may be sent there to defend. That's how I see it. Phone number is 855-47282. In the last hour, we spent a lot of time talking about the science behind the realities of the climate as opposed to the finances of the climate change gangster regimes. So let's pick up where we left off and invite you to call at 855-47282. WFTL in Florida. Ron, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, what an honor, first of all. Follow me on this for just a second. I have a couple of real angers. First of all, I'm a bit of a space nerd, and I wonder why the space community of scientists is not speaking out about this. It's very well documented that the Earth goes through cycles. You know, when the Noah's Ark days was going on, do we really believe that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and caused the Earth to flood? Absolutely not. The polar caps melted, and he built an ark and he found some land and life went on. He was in a low-lying area. You know, you fast forward 25,000 years, you have the Ice Age. It froze back up. All it takes is just a very, very slight tilt of the Earth's axis, a change in the orbit, just ever so slightly, and you get this. My question is: first of all, it has nothing to do with our carbon print, and second of all, there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. But why is the space scientist community not speaking out about this? Everyone,
well, for two reasons: one, because they're all wholly owned by the U.S. government, and they know if they step out of line, they will either be demoted and answered to a complete moron, or they will lose their jobs entirely. That's how it works in the Soviet system. Ron, thanks for the call. I would have sent you. Now, here's another weird story. State Department troubled by Moscow's move against Soros groups. Now, George Soros is perhaps the most dangerous man in the history of the world. In my opinion, he's done more damage to more sovereign nations than any in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like what this man has done. It was this creature, George Soros, and his unlimited greed for wealth that flooded the world with the refugees that we currently have through his Open Society Foundation, the Open Society Institute Assistance Foundation. He has single-handedly destroyed the structure of the world societies. And so Russia finally acted. And they've banned two of the liberal billionaires' charities. They have labeled this gangster's organizations a threat to national security, something I wish would be done in the United States of America. If we had a legitimate presidency, the man would be excommunicated from this nation, let alone Russia. So take a guess who comes to his aid? None other than Barack Obama through his State Department. Now, I told you what it is about Moscow that they hate the most, but it's also that they hate the truth coming out of Moscow. A spokesperson from Russia's Prosecutor General's office said the activities of the Soros Fund are threats to state security and the Russian Constitution. Of course, the Open Society under George Soros, the money trader, disagrees completely. Now, who came to his aid? The State Department. The State Department of the United States said this is another example of the Russian government's growing crackdown on independent voices and a deliberate step to further isolate the Russian people from the world. The exact opposite is true. We have become the new USSR, and Russia is becoming more like the old USA. That's exactly what's happening as a result of Barack Obama's insanity. George Soros, again, is a very dangerous man in the estimation not only of Michael Savage, but of thousands of other people who have studied this man's behavior. I don't have to delineate for you what he has done and where he's made his fortunes, but let me repeat what I taught you yesterday on this program. George Soros is a great proponent of the global warming lie, a great proponent of green energy, isn't he? Oh, yeah, he's for everything good, George Soros. A real good Nick. Just like Warren Buffet, just like Microsoft's Bill Gates, all wonderful people. Very good people. Excellent people. Better than you and I. Far better than you and I. And they're out to save the earth. Well, it turns out that George Soros first attacked coal through his minions in the propaganda ministry, meaning the press. Then he attacked coal by shorting the stocks. And when the cost of the coal companies, the stock price of the coal companies fell to a very low level, he went in and scooped up the coal companies. He is now the biggest owner of coal companies in the United States of America. What more do you need to know about how these gangsters operate? What more do you need to know about these phony green zealots? Now, you could look no further than San Francisco to see the same thing. We have people in San Francisco who are identical to George Soros. They go to these liberal dinners. They espouse liberal causes. They get applause from all of the useful idiots, and then they laugh all the way to the bank as they drive home in their limousines, back up to Pacific Heights, where they sit and look down on the peasants who are so easily manipulated by untruths. All right, my friends, those are some of the topics. I could see that you're still on tryptophan. Let's take some callers. Tom on KSFO, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, on your issue on the special ops, I think Obama's so sick, it's like taking a racing thoroughbred who's going to win the Kentucky and sending him to the horse meat factory. They will be slaughtered, and as you say, they have no boots on the ground backup forces. He cares not about the training they went through. I think in a sick way, he wants to have the power to just send them into places where they'll get beheaded and tortured.
That's what I fear. I fear he wants them to be captured by ISIS, paraded, and have their heads cut off on a beach. Never forget what this government apparently did to SEAL Team 6. Do you remember that story? What happened to all of those men who were put on that helicopter that got shot down? Do you remember that story?
Yes, for sure.
Well, here he's doing it again. I'm the only one in the media who said, wait a minute, let's not sit here and congratulate Obama for sending special ops into Syria. I think he's sending them in there to get knocked off or captured. Because you don't have to be a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to understand that a special ops arm cannot function without a body of troops behind them. What is he doing? He's putting them at great risk.
It's part of his psychopathology.
Oh, no, it's not psychopathology. The man hates the military, especially the military that doesn't knuckle under to him, of which there are only several small branches left. He has poisoned the tree of the military, and there are only a few independent branches left who will not knuckle under to him. One of them happens to be the special ops forces, which, by the way, are not fully integrated with women and transgenders yet. See, there are too many white males in special ops, too many patriots in special ops, too many American-loving troops in special ops, and there's no better way to get rid of them than to send them into harm's way without backup.
You've got it. The only thing on the psycho, I said, there's nothing more dangerous than an inadequate personality. They spend their whole life trying to prove their power.
All right, my friend, it's awful. Just awful to see things as they really are. Providence, Rhode Island. A second city on Tuesday withdrew its invitation for Rhode Island's dancing cop to direct holiday traffic because of his activism against the Black Lives Matter movement. The retired officer, responded by blasting the head of the Providence NAACP and threatening to sue his detractors for defamation. This is another sickening story where the Black Lives Matter gangsters are now smearing that thin blue line. 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. All right. The number one topic that emerged in this hour is that this crazy, crazy, crazy situation has emerged today where this idiotic administration signaled to the enemy that they're sending in special ops troops without any military force to back them up. Just sending them out into harm's way with no U.S. Army brigades behind them, nothing. I don't think this has ever been done before. Number two, I've never heard of a president or an administration announcing in advance that they're sending a special ops force to a war zone. Number three, I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Rhodes or one of the other traitors in the administration gets up and tells the enemy the very day they're arriving, where they're arriving, with the coordinates, so they could sight in on them and kill them all. I'm terrified that they're sending them in as lambs to the slaughter. That's what worries me. Bob and WDRC, am I wrong or right on that issue?
Yes, that's exactly my thoughts. Is what general, what commander-in-chief would announce is sending an army, let alone a special ops, into a war zone? And why isn't there a senator or congressman or even a presidential candidate keep doing? I mean, it's such a...
Can you imagine the sad state of affairs we have today that it takes Michael Savage, a mere talk show host, to raise this very, very intelligent question on a radio talk show, a question that should have been raised at the hearings today that was not raised, such as, sir, don't you think there's some risk in sending special ops troops to a war zone without a military, you know, backup, any military divisions backing them up? And moreover, why are you announcing it? Why are you telling the enemy what you're doing? Why does it take me to do this?
I'm with you, Michael.
Okay, thanks. Why? Because common sense is missing. Everything's missing in this administration. There's no brains anywhere. It's all nothing but manipulation and calculation. But in terms of thinking, forget about it. Let's take some calls unscreened on the Savage Nation. We're going wild right now. Wild into the wind. I'm taking unscreened calls. WBAP in Dallas. Debbie, fire away. What's your topic?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I believe that special ops have been there all along, and I believe that some of the guys have been killed maybe, and they have to now acknowledge that they've been there because the families will bring it out. And why in the world would we announce what we're going to do? It's already done.
Okay, thanks for your opinion. I can't verify or deny what you just said. Next caller, unscreened. KSFO, Rod, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Yeah, I want to make a comment on what you said about the Russian aircraft being shot down in Pakistan, where was it, Syria? I have a very scary thought going on in my head with us giving U.S. weapons to these people. It's like a Pearl Harbor kind of thing is what I'm thinking about what's going to happen.
Are you saying that the shoot down of the Russian jet by Turkey over Syrian airspace is a Pearl Harbor-like action in order to trigger a war?
Well,
thanks for the call. I think that's what you were trying to say. I'm not 100% sure. Next caller, Mike on WFTL. Topic, please, fire away. 30 seconds or less.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I think the real reason is to put them in harm ways where the Russian will eventually attack special ops, and intentionally, this will create a chaos that we never seen before. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. Oh, so it's even worse than I fear.
That's
in other words, Obama's sending them out not to be killed by ISIS, but to be attacked by Russia, either by accident or on purpose, as another pretext for war with Russia. Is that what you fear?
That's what I feel. Look what they're doing. I mean, do you think Turkey did what they did without permission from the U.S. or what?
No, no, I said from the beginning, I said last Wednesday when the plane was shot down right on this show that Obama's fingerprints are all over the shoot down of that Russian jet. I think common sense would dictate something is wrong here. Thank you for calling the program. Stay on the line. We'll send you a Christmas gift of government zero. Back in a minute. Everyone with a sane brain recognizes that radical Islam is a threat to the entire world. Everybody with a sane brain recognizes that we have an insane president, an insane Congress for that matter, and an insane leadership in the entire West to waste our intellectual energy or our mental focus on the crap called global warming. Now we wake up today and there's a hearing in Congress about the failures to contain ISIS. Of course, there should be a demand for the impeachment of the commander-in-chief who lied for two straight years. Two straight years he lied about fighting ISIS. But okay, let's put that aside. Don't expect any reality. Now we hear that the great commander-in-chief is sending special forces to Syria. I, Michael Savage, as a non-military man, tell you this is totally insane. My opinion is that they're putting them in harm's way and that they're going to either get killed or captured, or there's going to be a mistake, or something horrible will happen between Russian and American special operating forces on the ground. Or worse than that, the murderous scum in the Islamic State will capture one or several of our men and torture them in public and behead them because they're being sent into harm's way without the military behind them. I've never seen anything like this. Why would you send 50 special ops forces into that area, number one, without the backup of an army brigade behind them? And number two, why would you announce it unless you want them to get hurt? This is a repeat of what Obama did with regard to SEAL Team 6. You know what happened. I know what happened. You know they were sacrificed because they took down Osama bin Laden. You know that nothing ever happened as a result of it. He got away with that. He skated around it like he does everything else. And I'm telling you as I sit here, I hope to God I'm wrong. I hope to God I'm 100% wrong. I hope to God I'm 100% paranoid. And I pray that the 50 Special Forces troops kills all 35,000 of the Islamic State. Now, that's what I suppose Spielberg would have you believe. 50 of our special ops troops are so great and so well trained that they can take on an army of headcutters of 30,000 men. Oh, that's what's going to happen when Weinstein gets the film rights to Obama's military action. I'm sure that it'll be shown that 50 American special operators could take down an army of 30,000 headcutters. Isn't that the movie that you want to see? Just before Hillary runs for office, the genius who just said she agrees with Obama not to send in ground troops. That's amazing to me that it takes me on the radio to ask these questions. Not one in the media. No one on Fox News asked this question. Nobody on Fox News, not one of the leg-crossing, lipstick-smeared skirts asked this question. The stooges in skirts, the empty suits, the empty skirts on Fox. Not one of them asked this question, sitting there smiling like dunces. I'm the only one asking the question, which is why I survive in radio. It's because I ask the questions that need to be asked. Clinton agrees with Obama, not using ground troops to fight ISIS. Oh, bravo. Bravo, Hillary. That's such a smart maneuver. Well, Mrs. Clinton, can you tell me how 50 special ops forces will take on 35,000 headcutters? No answer to that question because no one asked the question. All right, let's see what Ash Carter, our great defense secretary, says about sending special ops into Syria. We have that, please. Let's play it.
We're sending, on President Obama's orders, the chairman's and my advice, special operations forces personnel to Syria to support the fight against ISIL. American special operators bring a unique suite of capabilities that make them force multipliers. They will help us garner valuable ground intelligence, further enhance our air campaign, and above all, enable local forces that can regain and then hold the territory.
This is some idiot girl in the administration wrote this PR piece. This is one of the idiot drug addicts in the administration wrote this thing. It's like a college essayist. Force multiplier. Force multiplier. In plain English, you're sending 50 men against 35,000, you idiots, you? Shotgun WABC, what's your topic? Go ahead.
Yes, I think the only reason why Obama is doing this is because it makes sense from the standpoint of the enemy. You know, last week you had spoken about the fact that when they wanted to blow up the trucks, they dropped flyers to let everybody know that the planes were coming. And it's very interesting because my father, who was an Air Force bombardier back in Korea, actually won a medal for destroying trucks. And before they could destroy the trucks, they had to take out a row of light towers, which were used to signal the drivers of the trucks. And now the rules of engagement say you can't do that. Obama is definitely ISIS. The media is definitely the Democratic Party.
Okay, my friend, it's heartbreaking, but it's true. It's heartbreaking, but it is true. Never forget what the end game is of the community organizer-in-chief. ISIS wants Assad out of office. Obama wants Assad out of office. Put two and two together. Friends of my friends are my friends. In other words, they're working together to knock Assad out of office. And so the fact of the matter is the only thing standing in their way is Russia. And this is what happens when you get mixed up in Middle East Muslim wars. The fact of the matter is this is just beginning. This is not ending. This, my friends, is not the end of the beginning, but it may be the beginning of the end. This man is so nuts. This head lunatic running the West is so deranged that he would take the mind of the world and distract it with this rubbish about global warming when the real threat is the rise of the worst and most dangerous enemy freedom has ever seen since Adolf Hitler died in 1945. How could you not understand what's at stake here? If you have children, don't you wake up in the morning and wonder if they'll even live in freedom, or if they'll wind up praying to Mecca six times a day at this rate? Is that what you want? You want your daughter to walk around in a burqa, bowing down to Mecca? You want to see your husband's head cut off? You say, oh, it can't happen. That's stupid. That's alarmist. That's hysterical alarmism. Well, it would be if you don't know history, that sounds like alarmism. But those of you who studied history know that there is certainly a possibility that we not only have lost this war so far, but we could lose the big war if we don't change course rapidly. And the best example of what I'm saying is the truth of what happened. In 25 years, from the time of the death of Muhammad in 632, until the death of his descendant, Othman, in 656, in only 25 years, you will see one of the most amazing stories of conquest in the whole history of the human race. And it was done exactly then the way it's being done now. Only, in fact, it's escalated now because then they didn't even have TNT. They used swords, and they used burning. They used beheading. They used rape. They pillaged, they burned, and they raped. And they terrified one town and one city and one village after another. And they smashed the Byzantine army at the Battle of Yarmouk in 634. And then they conquered Persia, conquered Syria, conquered Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem. These towns and villages and cities fell almost without resistance to the Muslim hordes. What happened after that was large elements of the population were converted to Islam. And then the Muslim hordes turned east. The Persians, who were now Muslims, eventually fell. And they fell because even though they had a great force of elephants, and even though they fought the Arabs with great courage, they lost in 637 and the conquest of all of Persia then followed. And then the Muslim Empire spread even further, pushing farther into western Turkestan. Now, let's pause on Turkestan for a minute. Turkestan was in the news last week when the Turkmen allegedly shot down that Russian plane. Well, Turkmen are really another name for Obama's moderate terrorists. But then Turkestan fell, and then it met the Chinese. The Muslims went all the way into China, and a portion of China fell to Islam. Did you know Egypt was not Muslim? But it fell to the Muslim hordes. As a result of what? Beheadings, burnings, pillagings, and rapings. And Egypt then became Muslim. And Egypt then became Muslim and fell into a fanatical belief in the sufficiency of the Quran. And what happened next is astonishing. The Muslims wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. And then they poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. The Muslims invaded Spain in 710. And they breached the Pyrenees Mountains in 720. In 732, the Arab advance reached the center of France. But then something happened. The Battle of Poitiers happened. And the leaders of France put on armor instead of hiding in armored cars. They put on armor themselves, and they led the charge against these hordes, these barbarian hordes. And they pushed the Muslim barbarians back into the Pyrenees again. And it goes on and on. 25 years, through the same tactics that are being used today, the ancients who duplicate what ISIS is doing today, without the benefit of the destructive elements of TNT, and the weapons of today, they were able to do this in 25 years. Unless we get a true world leader, worse will happen in your lifetime. Take that to the bank, because what I just read to you is the history of the world in real time. I'll be back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So this deranged administration is sending 50 special ops troops to Syria without any military backup. So what's the real purpose here? What is he trying to do? People are speculating. One person says, well, they're probably sending in the special ops to say that Syria has and has used weapons of mass destruction. And this proves that we need to eliminate Assad. And then, of course, we're at war with Russia. And then, of course, Halliburton and the military-industrial congressional complex is in business again. That's what someone wrote. Another one says, what's the real purpose of doing this? To prevent the Syrian government from retaking the entire country from the cannibalistic Islamic terrorists. It is clear that Syria, with Russian help, will regain total control of all Syria unless U.S. troops and NATO are on the ground to stop them. Just giving you a few additional things to think about instead of buying the lies that your newspapers will publish tomorrow. KSFO Ben, 30 seconds or less, fire away.
Hey, Mike, and I disagree with you. I don't think there's going to be an escalation of military forces and Russians to instigate a greater conflict. I think there's
But wait, sir, well, what are 50 troops going to be able to do against 35,000?
Well, Mike, the wars that fought today is not like John Wayne back in Green Beret movies. It's not like that nowadays.
Oh, no, it isn't? Tell me what it's like.
Well, more drone strikes, more remote operated.
Really? How's that working out so far? Have they lost or gained territory with our advanced technology?
Use the might, just like you had said in the past. The problem is...
Wait, no, I'm saying you seem to think that we have drones and technology, and it's all so great that we don't need troops. How has that worked out since they've now expanded to a territory the size of Great Britain?
Mike, the U.S. military has the firepower to wipe out all of Syria. The thing is, it's not being used. I mean, it would...
Well, now you're agreeing with me. That's right. So either you want to wipe out ISIS or you don't. But you don't send in 50 men like sacrificial lambs. That's my point, Ben. That's all. They're putting them at risk. It's that simple. WMAL, Mark, you're next up. Fire away, 30 seconds or less.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I just want to echo what you're saying. I was a Marine for 20 years and did special ops, and special ops is always attached to a battalion-sized unit or more. Special ops is designed to drop in behind enemy lines, gather reconnaissance, or do an extraction or something of that nature. But, you know, sending is just asinine. To try and
Mark, listen, I'm not a military person, but I read military history, and I have common sense, and I know this is not done. Nobody does this but a liar like Obama. He's sacrificing them.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It has
just as somebody in the Defense Department or in State Department or in the White House itself sacrificed all those members of SEAL Team 6 who were killed on that helicopter under suspicious circumstances. Nobody has been found and punished for that. The same thing is liable to happen here.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. There's no way that you can put 50 people in against 35,000 and expect anything. They're only there to gather intelligence.
Mark, I want to ask you something. In your experience, when you said they're usually backed up by a brigade, tell the audience how large a brigade is.
Well, you're going to have at least 1,500 people. You're going to have people that are involved in communications, radio communications. You have to have hero ops. You're going to have a CENTCOM trace. You're going to have people that report to a higher authority. And, you know, hope is not a strategy. And it sounds like they're just dropping these guys in there and hoping something good's going to happen. It's just ridiculous.
All right, I'm sending you Government Zero because the chapter called Zero Military and Zero Strategy Against ISIS was never more true than it is today. These people are dangerous to our survival, and on the front lines are these 50 men whose lives are in grave danger because they're being dropped behind enemy lines without any support whatsoever. This is classic stupidity by a community organizer, my opinion. We have only 55 seconds left in this hour. They're putting special ops teams on the ground without any support from a regular army brigade. They're announcing in advance that they're dropping them. I'm afraid I'll wake up tomorrow morning and see that this pink-tied Ash Carter will tell the enemy exactly which province they're being put into, on what day they will be landing, and what the coordinates are of the transport planes that will be bringing them in. This is what I fear. Let's pray that I'm wrong. And let's pray that we wake up tomorrow and that God finally saw the truth, and instead of waiting, he stepped in and did something so unannounced that the world finally cheers and we can hang our flags outside our windows once again. You know, it's said, God sees the truth but waits. And I'm saying, God, stop waiting.